back with Sundance in the Morning and with the co-directors of Web Junkie from which is in the World Cinema documentary. So you do get a chance to vote on this. So remember to vote on this. And it's Ila Medalia, or is that?
Ila Medalia.
Medalia. and Shosh Shlam.
Yes.
Welcome. And your first screening isn't until
tomorrow
at the Yarrow 6 o'clock. But somehow, with his magical co-host powers, David Darcy has seen the picture already.
That is correct. And you know, this picture addresses a number of things, but the two things that I think are most important is, first of all, the pathology of one's relationship to technology. And then even in a country like China, where the family is the strongest institution and the institution that most Chinese have more respect for than their government, technology can erode these family bonds to the point where families are sending their children to a boot camp to address the what's diagnosed as an addiction and as an addiction to the internet. How did two Israelis end up in China making this film?
I saw one day an item on the Australian television saying that one of the boys was beaten to death in one of those boot camps. And when I thought that I want to deal with this subject, I thought that the best thing to do is to go to China when this phenomena is so extreme. So I went to China to look for this boot camp that I knew that it's in south of Beijing. And in the first time, I didn't succeed to find the connection. I went home, but I had a strong desire to do it. And I went back to China, and I found connection to this professor that established this boot camp. It was the first one in the world to treat, you know, children with the internet addiction after China declared it.
Yeah. Now, that was Shosh Shlam from the film Web Junkie. The Chinese have their own reasons for cooperating or not cooperating with journalists, with movies. What was the Chinese interest in having you make this film, or at least allowing you to make the film?
Actually, we didn't have government permission. We didn't even try to get one because the camps are on military bases, so it's not likely to get, since we're Westerners, to get this permit. Once we met with Professor Tao, and he basically gave us the access and he invited us, he's very proud of what he's doing. He feels like a revolutionary in the field, and he wanted everybody to know about his research and what he's doing.
Now, why would this diagnosis first happen? I mean, in common parlance, you hear this all the time. He's addicted to this, he's addicted to that. But why the official diagnosis, and why China? Why did this happen in China?
I think that China, as a communist party, needs to be in control of their citizens. And we are talking about huge numbers of 24 million of teenagers that are addicted. So for them, I mean, to control it is to declare it. And we know that in the West, I mean, it's not in the DSM yet, but it's a big embarrassment for the psychiatrist community, you know, how to declare it. Because in any other addiction, you can take it away. And here, you cannot take it away because the computer became a part of our life.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, after China, one of the countries that I think is most hooked into the computer is Israel. So,
yes,
you know, you're coming from a perspective of knowledge of something
yes.
like this.
Actually, one of there was a research in Israel or in Europe actually that checked the amount of use among young adults in Europe, and Israel was one of the countries that they checked, and actually Israel was number one in the amount of hours that the youth spend online.
Well, How do they define addiction? Because I think there's a lot of us, once we learn how to use the computer, you can sort of waste a lot of your life. Instead of doing actual work, you can say, well, Ela, let me look up Ela, see what else she's done. Let me look up her IMDb profile, and we can spend half the day looking up this and looking up that. But I guess that is that addiction, or this is something a lot more hardcore?
I think that an addiction, in China they said if you spend more than 6 hours, not for study or work, you are an addict. But when you stop functioning in your own life and you are spending day and nights in an internet cafe, so what would you call it?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the escape of the children, there is a cause to it. And in China, it's because one child policy and a very strict education system. So these are the two main causes in China.
Yeah, one of the sentiment that you get, that you observe here, is extreme loneliness on the part of a lot of these kids. And, you know, it's funny, and the paradox is, of course, the internet is supposed to be bringing like-minded people together. They're often, and if they're not at home, they might be in rooms together where they're all on the internet. But this paradox of loneliness in a place where people are rounded up, but each is focused on a screen instead of each other. And also the family, one would think that given if there's only one child, there'd be a huge amount of attention paid to that one child. But as we find all the time, both parents are so busy providing for that child that there's no time to spend with the child, and you either throw money at the child or throw a device at the child like the internet. And, of course, you know, it doesn't work out.
And also there is a lot of stress or a lot of pressure on these kids because they're only one child. They need to provide for their parents and for their grandparents. So the parents puts a lot of pressure on the kids.
But, yes. But also in America, what I read, a research that a father is spending half an hour with his children during a week.
Oh, it's in the United States. It's terrible. It's terrible. And you have... Oh, it's and then with commuting time and all that, the long hours that people work, we see this. I mean, there's no question that this is happening in the United States. But what's also interesting in the United States, it's happening with wealthy families, and it's happening in immigrant families where you would think that the family would be the closest unit, but it's the parents are working so hard that they can either they don't have time, so they can give money or things to their kids. But you could say. And there's an addiction to television. Most people, or a lot of people, spend more than 6 hours a day watching it. And of course, like any addict, there are excuses that are made. I'm not watching television. I'm watching the Independent Film Channel. This is all really wholesome stuff that I'm watching. It's not trash. This is serious, life-affirming movies, the kind of things that premiered at Sundance.
Yeah, I'm not wasting time on Google. I'm doing important research here.
So who funded this film? Was this funded by an Israeli film agency?
Yes. It's a documentary channel in Israel and the new foundation for the Israel New Foundation for Film and Television. And the American partners are Chicken and Egg, Impact Partners, Gucci Tribeca, and
The New York State Council of the Arts also gave, because I'm based also in New York.
Right. And you got some of the few dollars that are remaining at the New York State Council of the Arts. Right. We know about that. What was it like being Israeli working in China, even though you didn't go through? I have to say, I was in China as a journalist, and I chose not to go through official channels, and I was literally running away from police in a town that I will not identify. But it's tough doing information gathering when you don't have official permission. If they find out that you're there.
I think that, first of all, the biggest challenge as far as working in China was the cultural gap, the cultural difference.
Does either of you speak Chinese?
No.
No.
So you hire translators?
Yes, translators. But
so you had there are intimate scenes of interviews with these kids. So all this was translated? There's a translator there all the time?
Yeah.
It's a tribute to the editing of the film that this really – seems so natural.
And I think also at times we couldn't get the translation right when it happened because you couldn't disturb the situation. So after it happened, and also the style of the way the film was shot, the varieté style, sometimes you don't interrupt the situation anyway as they're happening.
And maybe can you give us a little sneak preview, a little overview of the three three teenagers that you dealt with, and a little bit about just who they are and what they're like.
There are three teenagers that we found there. One is Nikki. As you saw in the film, the relationship in the family is very difficult, a lot of violence. He tried to commit suicide a few times. Also, during his staying in the camp, the next boy is Hope. He's now in the United States with his mother because his parents got divorced. Also, very bad relationship with his father, disappearing for nights to the internet cafe.
Let me interrupt you for a second because we're running out of time. Two things struck me about this. In the United States, if a comparable group of kids would be obese. These kids, China hasn't faced that problem with these kids yet. And the other thing is that it's all boys.
It's mostly boys.
And we know from looking at social media that if you want to extend the internet or electronic media addiction, that girls as well as boys are locked into this in most countries.
Well, most of these kids are playing games, actually the same games that are also in the United States, like World of Warcraft.
It's a strategic game, so boys are getting more connected, I think.
Okay. Well, in the world of Sundance, like we said, your first screening, you'll meet an audience tomorrow at the Yarrow. And in this area, next time is Tuesday at the Redstone Cinema out there in the Park City outskirts, Thursday at the Holiday Village Cinema, and a week from today, Saturday, at the Temple Theater. What is this deal about? They're putting Israeli filmmakers at the Temple. I wonder if that's...
I'm not going to say that it's a Jewish conspiracy, but I'll let my Israeli friends decide what accounts for that.
Okay. Ila Medalia and Shosh Slam, thank you very much for taking your time here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for coming.
This is Earl with Nexus IT. Nexus IT is proud to sponsor KPCW. Nexus IT provides hosted PBX and voiceover IP phone services, systems, and repair. Our phone number is 435-487-9099 and on the web at nexusitc.net.